May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Lent has begun, and with it, our opportunity once again to reflect on where we are with God. In this season, we are encouraged to let the light of God's love shine into our lives and to have courage to face ourselves, just as Jesus faced his own fears, demons, and temptations in the wilderness. Both the first reading and the Gospel tell the story of temptations given into in the garden and resisted in the desert. Of course, the responses to temptation of the first Adam and his successor as the second Adam, the Christ, were bound to be different. But I can't help feeling that for us, who have plenty in common with Adam and Eve, the luxury and beauty of the garden, a place of delight without any threat, is exactly the kind of place where we can so easily be beguiled and can come so badly unstuck. It may be for us that when all seems easy and without threat, we should check ourselves, check our moral compass, and consider how we walk. The soft sins of neglectful complicity lie in wait for all of us. Perhaps the starkness of the desert, or in our terms, those times in our lives when we realise that we are being challenged, whether through loss or weakness or failure or rejection, at these times I think we're more likely to call out to God for guidance or for strength, or to seek support from other people who can help us to choose the better path and find strength to endure when life has become barren or emotionally perilous. But whether we feel that life is at the moment for us like a garden or a desert, it can always be painful as well as something of a relief to expose our hearts, to question our choices, our desires, and our actions. And to be exposed in this way, to look into our hearts with penetrating honesty, whether with another person and talking to them openly or in prayer before the God who made us and loves us and knows everything about us, can feel dangerous. The comfortable assumptions about who we are called into question and we must respond. Julie and I would like to offer to all of you who are our fellow travellers in faith the reminder that we are here to talk about anything which is challenging for you, especially in these weeks when we reflect on our frailty and weakness, our confusion at times, and our need of grace and strength and direction. Whether it might be an issue in work or in a relationship or with another person or coming to terms with life's challenges or fears about the future, we are each here to talk to you. Please, please do make use of us to do that. Make an appointment and come and talk. We're here exactly and above all else for this, to be pastoral ears and hearts for each of you, much more than to be administrators or caretakers. We are sometimes busy, but spending time with people pastorally is the priority in my ministry and I know in Julie's too. Confession or reconciliation, prayer for forgiveness is also available for those who might seek it. Well, if you are like me, and I suspect you are, you'll be familiar with the question, what have you given up for Lent? People always seem to ask me this, and I do understand why. My children also ask. Perhaps for them it's a way of introducing the bigger question, which is harder to ask, of why is faith important to you? Why is faith important to you now at this time as we prepare for Easter? Sometimes I suppose I do give things up, and maybe I should give things up more often. But although giving up, which is a form of fasting, is a powerful way to remind ourselves of the meaning of the season, Lent as a whole must be larger than that and must be a time for giving up and a time for taking up, a time for seeking insight and a time for putting right and setting out in a new direction. better prepared by a deeper knowledge of ourselves, our strengths and our weaknesses, our potential for good, as much as our potential for bad. Today, as I said at the beginning, is our Volunteer Sunday, our day of Operation Fish. We have splendid fish which were pinned on by the children who came up during the last service, our family Eucharist, each one with a prayer or an intention or an offer of the way in which they would like to serve God. Today is the day then when we invite each member of the community to think about ways in which we might offer our time and our gifts for the work of the gospel. This isn't about money, unless being more than normally generous is the gift that you bring to church in particular, as it is for some. But for most of us, today is about offering our hearts and our lives in practical and in physical ways, thinking about how we can get involved, perhaps somewhat more. We chose a different second reading this morning, a reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in order to give a little bit more explanation to this Volunteering Sunday. It's a very beautiful passage, I'm sure you'll agree, and I think a very important one theologically, setting out Paul's understanding of the body of Christ, the church, in which every person, though different, is valued equally. As you may know, I'm about to fly to India this afternoon, and reading this passage, I can't help think about the extreme divisions in Indian society perpetuated by the notion of caste. In Hindu theology, there's also a concept of the body as the source of all people, a metaphor for the community. In the Rig Veda, the primordial being Purusha begets all four major groups of people, four categories or varnas of people. From his head come the Brahmins, from his shoulders come the Kshatriyas, who are the kings and the warriors. From his loins come the Vaishyas, who are the skilled craftsmen. And from his feet come Shudras, agricultural labourers and workers. And this ancient myth underlies the modern concept of caste, which is understood as hereditary occupation, marriage within the caste, and notions of purity and pollution too. These are developments of the original body image in the Veda, and they have conspired to keep those who are at the bottom of society in a state of poverty, and are the ongoing cause of great suffering for the 200 million or so people today who are not part of that body image at all because they have no caste status whatsoever. Formerly called untouchable, they are the people who our little charity in Delhi, which I'll be visiting, serves. Saksha serves those people who live in the city slums, who are just like those who live in rural areas too, who were in the past denied education or the opportunity even to hear the Hindu scriptures. In describing this, I'm not for a moment suggesting that our own society is somehow better or free from injustice. Of course, our society is also far from just, and far from the kingdom in its own ways. But with the Hindu creation myth from one body in mind, the reading we've just heard from St. Paul looks all the more remarkable. The metaphor of the body does not automatically lend itself to the idea of mutual interdependence in society. It can alternately be used, as we've just heard, to justify hierarchy. But St. Paul does something really wonderful with the concept. Inspired by the Spirit of Christ, who reached out time and time again to those who were marginalized, to those who were broken, to those who were despised and rejected, St. Paul presents the body of Christ as a place where there is no hierarchy of honor or respect, where the honor of any member is celebrated by all, and where modesty and kindness and respect enable each to be equally part of the body of Christ, joint heirs with Christ, each indispensable and valued, whatever role each of us may play or whatever social status we might also have in other contexts. St. Paul's vision of the body of Christ is, I think, truly world-changing, and that's why I believe so passionately that the gospel is good news for the world, because the love which God gives to each and every person ensures for all of us the full dignity as a child of God, equally valued and equally needed within his family, the body, the church. So on Volunteering Sunday, this beautiful, life-changing theology has a very sweet message for each of us. And that message is that whatever we can offer of our time or our skills, whether they are great or whether they are humble or of little worth, it seems, it is each important as anybody else's offering. And I hope this will encourage all of us to think again about what we might offer and to appreciate that it will make a big difference to the ministry of the church here, however insignificant we might have thought our skills could be. There are lots of things which one might do to be part of the life here, and I know that all of you are already part of the church's life in many ways, but I'd like to share with you just some ideas which have been on my mind over the last few months about particular roles that I would love to have other people to fill. We're seeking somebody to take responsibility for our car park and for promoting it among local businesses. The car park is a vital source of income for us. Even a 5% increase in its use is equivalent to a great deal of generous stewardship. We're looking for new members for the PCC to guide and to care for our church. We need new trustees for one of our church trusts and a new secretary to take minutes for it to deal with a bit of paperwork and arrange meetings. We badly need somebody to take charge of the distribution of flyers for our services this Easter and at other times of the year to local homes, and to coordinate volunteers in doing that, and to extend that distribution to other businesses too. We would love to have somebody to take over the care of our wonderfully stocked and very important little library. We would love to have somebody else to help with the link between the church and our amazing Eaton Square concerts, who would enhance that link with this church and with other churches in the deanery, and also help perhaps with setting up at the concerts too. And I would love somebody to help with the role of publicity, helping with posters and news articles, the website and more. None of these things require an expert, but for some, the role will fit, I think, like a glove. And of course, in addition to that, there are so many more things about volunteering at the passage, helping with refugee visits, and so on, becoming part of the family choir maybe, or serving and interceding at church, or being part of our ministry of welcome. Perhaps one of these tasks is something that you might help with, and maybe didn't realise that we needed. Each of us has a role to play. Skills to offer, whether practical or professional, and time, whether a little or a lot, to give. Please, please, please don't take on more than is reasonable. But please also do not hold back. God is calling each of us to play our own unique and valued role in the body of Christ, his church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.